Something in the closing of that chapter, and then we're going into chapter 21 on the new things. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 is the place of the dead. Saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now the Bible tells us that the lost will go into judgment, all unsaved. Look over at chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the Bible says all of these will not be in the new heaven and the new earth. It tells us all that are sinful and unbelieving and those who are defiled and drunkards in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It gives us a long list of the unrighteous, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, which is malakos in the Greek, means a soft. It's referring to a man who is feminine. And that femininity is dealing with homosexuality and the gay movement and all that. And they can try to justify their actions, but the Bible is very clear on its opinion of that kind of lifestyle. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Keep your bookmark here and turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, does God love those people? Yes, He does. Does God want to save them? Yes, He does. Has God issued a call for them to come and believe and be saved and be forgiven of their sins and changed? Yes. And we keep preaching that and keep teaching that. But if they reject the Lord, then there's no hope for them and any other of any lifestyle. 1 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So we find numerous lists in the Bible that list those that are lost and who are not going to be in heaven with the Lord. Thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers. Revilers are abusive railing. We used to call it in the country somebody that would cuss a blue streak. I don't know where that comes from, but that's what people would say. And that's what it means to be a reviler. And they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But there is hope now while there is opportunity. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, after it lists this long list of those that cannot inherit the kingdom of God, it says, but such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So all of us had a past and we have all committed sin, but God has saved us and cleansed us and declared us just, which means righteous before God, because of the death of Jesus Christ. I just looked at Joey sitting on the back row back there. It reminded me, I meant to say something earlier and I didn't do it. BBN is in their share-a-thon. And Becca goes to work in the morning at 6 a.m. or before 6 a.m. She has to be there. And she'll have a 12-hour day. And I think Joey's working from noon to midnight or something like that on the shift he's on. And they'll be there this week, most of the week. Hopefully they'll raise the funds they needed and get through, you know, earlier and at least have Friday off maybe, you know, or go back to regular programming, have a normal day instead of those long days. So remember them, pray for BBN that they can raise the funds they need And Ann said something to me earlier about, you know, because of Judd, her husband, and Lowell Davy, they started BBN up in Virginia. And it was just the two of them. They didn't have anybody else. So the two of them had to man the station all the time until they got large enough that they could start adding employees and other locations and all that. That was all the way back at the beginning. And now they just celebrated this week 50 years. And this 50-year celebration. Judd, thank you for the work you've done, and thank you to BBN. And God bless all of you for that. And they've had a great week with bringing in guests and friends and preachers. And they brought Dennis Swanberg in to entertain them, you know, and that guy is crazy as a loon. I love to hear him tell stories about his mom and his daddy. His daddy was a major in the Army National Guard. And his mama talked like a southern woman, you know, with a little whine in her voice like that. He'd tell so many stories that make you laugh all day. You wake up at night thinking about it and you start laughing again. Well, those are good things. And there is hope for people out there. No matter how much sin you have in your life, that God can save you and change you and give you a home in heaven. And we as Christians are, it's not that we are not sinners, but we are forgiven and we're justified in the name of the Lord. Now look back at Revelation 21, if you would, and we'll look at the things that will be new. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then he lists that list I read to you a moment ago of those that will not be there. First of all, a new heaven and a new earth. Because the current heaven and earth will pass away. All the way back in Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. So God promised even back through Isaiah 750 years before the birth of Christ, there would come a day where he'd create a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation explains to us of the time frame of when this will take place. Back in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 10, many of you are familiar with this. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I forgot to put on my microphone. I think it's all right if I stay close to the mic here. Got a little tickle in my throat. I think I think Jacob overworked us. We required a strain of voice a little bit or something, maybe. God wants us focused on the future. God don't want us worrying about the past. And we don't have to weep over the past when we get to be with the Lord, because the former things are going to pass away. God's going to remove all that past from us, and we're going to be able to focus on joy and happiness with the Lord. Now, the Bible reveals there are three heavens in the Scriptures. The first heaven is the atmosphere around us, where birds fly and where there are clouds. The second heaven is the place of the stars and the planets, and that is also the dwelling place of angels. Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air. And so that is his realm, where there are spiritual warfares ongoing. And he limits angels that God has sent out as his messengers to do things. And Daniel tells about the angel that was withstood for 3 weeks until Michael the archangel came and aided him because of satanic influence. And then there's the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God. But there's coming a fourth heaven and a new earth. And that's where we're going to live with God forever and forever and forever. Verse number 5 says, God creates all things new. The new heaven and the new earth, a place where believers will dwell forever and forever. And God, in verse 3, will dwell with man. We'll be able to be in the presence of God, somewhat like Adam and Eve were before they sinned. We look at all the benefits he lists here of the presence of God with his people. First of all, he wipes away all tears from our eyes. You say there's going to be tears in people's eyes in heaven. What else could we have seeing all the lost cast into the lake of fire for all eternity? We won't weep over Satan and the false prophet, but we'll weep over loved ones and friends and family members that do not receive the Lord as their Savior and suffer the judgment of God. But God will wipe away those tears from our eyes. There'll be no more death. We won't be separated by people dying again. Now, death sometimes comes very early. We had church members that had a son, 48 years of age, that died with COVID the other day. And he had 2 small children. And now his wife and children are separated from their husband and father because of death. And many of you have buried your parents, and some of you have buried children. And they tell me that's the hardest emotional thing in the world, to bury your children. And I often tell my friends when I go to a visitation, if they're having a service for their son, my good friend Ed Jameson passed away much younger than I am, and I went to see his mom and dad at the funeral home visitation, and I told his folks, I said, you know, it's just not supposed to be this way, is it? You're just not, parents just not supposed to have to bury their children. It's supposed to be the children bury their parents. But it comes all the time. It happens, and we have to face that. But one day we'll be with the Lord, and there'll be no more death, no more separation by death. There'll be no more sorrow. All the things in this world that bring sorrow and tears and crying, there'll be no more of that when we're with the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth. No more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. Boy, I'm excited about that. I look forward to a new body. One that won't have arthritis. One that won't be racked with any kind of pain. I won't have to worry about which side I sleep on, or if I sleep on my back and not my sides causing my war wounds and all that sort of thing. There'll be no more pain in that day. I'll be able to close my hands. You know, I can't hardly do that now with arthritis, but the day's coming when all of that will be over and we'll have a new body like Christ's body, and there'll be no more pain. The former things are passed away, the remembrance of all those things. Somebody wrote a song years ago, and I heard Glenn Campbell sing it. Glenn Campbell had 2 or 3 times where he rededicated his life to the Lord, and he could live good for God when he was rededicated his life and was going to church, but he couldn't live faithful for God because of Hollywood. He couldn't say no to the sins and the opportunities. Several times he lost his testimony. But he, for a period of time over in Phoenix, Arizona, he married a girl from that area, and they went to First Baptist Church in Phoenix, and he sang with the choir, and he sang "No More Night." And it goes, the timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. And it's got several verses, and those high notes, you know, that those tenors like him could hit are just moving in that song. And I enjoy hearing that song sung. I pulled it back up on my phone yesterday to copy down these words because I couldn't remember which ones come first, you know, and didn't want to mess up reading it to you. But praise God for what his provisions are for our future. A home prepared for us, a new heaven, a new earth. We'll dwell with him, and God will come down to the earth in this new earth and dwell with his people. And we look forward to that. And the former things will have passed away. Now, it reminds us that the written words of God, these words that he spoke to John, are faithful and true. My friends, I believe God has preserved his word. I believe we have the word of God, and I believe it is faithful and true. I'd rather believe God than man, and I'm going to stick with what the Bible has to say rather than what people try to turn it into. Verse number 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Back in 1 John, James, Peter, John, 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" How many of you here tonight say amen if you're an overcomer because you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Thanks be to God. It's not based on how good we do or how much we hold out until the end or anything of that nature. It's based on Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross. And so we give him praise to be overcomers for the Lord. By faith, we are overcomers. Now, there's going to be many changes in the new world. You got to read this whole chapter and write down these things that are changed, that are different, that are not like the world we live in today, or you may fail to get the concept of the whole change here. First of all, the Bible says in verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." No more oceans. Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water, salt water, oceans, and many freshwater lakes like the Great Lakes and places like that. But there'll be no more sea in the new earth. We'll have new bodies when Christ takes us to heaven to be with him in the rapture, and he gives us a body that's like his body, and there'll be no more sickness and pain and death for us from that moment forward when we get a glorified body that is like his body. We won't have to worry about cancer or dread disease. We won't have to read a prayer list when we're sitting up there with the angels and getting taken around heaven to see living with the Lord, waiting for the tribulation on the earth to get over with till we come back with the Lord. We won't have to have a prayer list because people won't have lung cancer and brain tumors and liver disease and pancreas cancer and prostate cancer and heart disease and arteries that are damaged and nerve damage and arthritis. Won't have to be on blood thinner any longer and no more chemotherapy, praise God. Because we'll be healed and have a new body that is like his body that will last forever and forever. You say, what's an eternal body look like? I can tell you this, it looks just like Jesus' body. That's exactly what it looks like. We'll see him as he is, and we'll be like him, the scripture says. In Romans 8 and verse 18, scripture says, "For I reckon," that's a good southern word, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What we've got to look forward to makes us realize we don't have to worry about anything that we go through in this life. It won't even be brought up. You get in a conversation in a crowd of people today and you say, "I had this terrible motorcycle wreck and I broke the bone off my shoulder and three of my ribs were broken two places each and I cracked my collarbone and my shoulder blade. And I was hurting really bad," and they're gonna say, "Oh, that's nothing. This is what happened to me," and they tell a bigger story. That won't happen in heaven. All that stuff's over with, my friend. We're gonna get a new body, and we won't even bring up some of the things we have been through in the past, even before the Lord wipes away all the past. There are great benefits of the presence of God. God preserves us with his presence. First of all, the creator of all will make all things new. I have a hard time even wrapping my mind around that. God's going to make all things new. A new heaven, a new earth, nothing's used, nothing's rusted, busted, or collecting dust. It's going to all be new and it's going to be made by God. Peter wrote, "God created the first heaven and the first earth and it was destroyed with the flood," in 2 Peter 3 and verse 3 through 6. Verse 7 of our text here says, "The present is kept in store until the time of judgment." There'll be a lot of reconstruction in the tribulation. There's going to be so much devastation from wars and the judgment of God poured out, the wrath of God poured out upon the earth. There's going to be a lot of change that'll take place in that day. But we can be assured that the day of judgment will come as God has said. So we who believe that look for new heavens and a new earth. And we should live diligently expecting that day to take place. So let's be ready to be found in peace, without spot, blameless at the coming of the Lord. Now this is number 4 in my notes. We go to verse 9 of chapter 21. Bible says, "There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come up hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." This is referred to as the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. All the foundations of that city are made of precious stones. It has a great high wall. Let me read you some verses. Verse 10, "He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high and had 12 gates. And at the 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me that had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished in all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald." And he goes on listing these precious jewels. So 12 gates, and each gate is made of solid pearl. There's a street of crystal clear gold. There's the names of the 12 tribes. There's 12 angels at the gates. There's 12 foundations in verse number 14. There's the names of the 12 apostles on the walls. And the wall of the city is of jasper, of pure gold. The foundations are of precious stones. God makes beautiful things. God makes things that are precious. We're impressed by gold and silver and emeralds and diamonds and all that sort of thing here on the earth. They are like a shovel full compared to what God is using to build everything that we're going to live in for all eternity. But remember, the only thing there that's been made by man will be the scars in the hands of Jesus. God is preparing all this. The Creator is making all this. The same Creator that made this world and made all the oceans and made all the stars, made all the planets, and made all the atmosphere, that same God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth where we're going to dwell with Him forever and forever. Back in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father and Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we're looking forward to our future. The Bible says in Revelation 21, there's no temple in the new heaven, in the new earth. Because in the Old Testament temple, the Jews were divided, male from female, Jews from Gentiles, and these were all divided. There was a wall of separation, even in the synagogue, of the Jews and the Gentiles, the male and the female. All of those will be gone because there's nothing that will separate us and divide us from the Lord. The Jews have a proselyte, but he would be separated from them in the actual service. But in heaven, there'll be no separation from our God because there's no problem of sin any longer with the Lord. Thanks be unto God that we'll be with him. Now, back in chapter 21 and verse 23. The Bible says in the city, here's one of those verses you have to read to make sure. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So there won't be any need of sun, nor moon, nor candle, because there's going to be no more night in the presence of the Lord. His glory will light the place. All the saved will enter the city. The gates will be open to all. There's no closed doors. All these gates will be open for all people from every nation and every tribe and every language. But nothing will enter the city that defiles or that commits sin. Verse 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We're to look forward, my friends, to a new body with the Lord. We're to look forward to the new place where Christ has created for us to live in heaven with Him. And that's a temporary place. until the end of the tribulation on earth, and we will return to the earth with the Lord, and he will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And we'll dwell with him and serve with him and rule and reign with him in the kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And then Satan will be released for a short time and go about deceiving the people who live on the earth in that day in their mortal bodies. And many of them will follow Satan and they'll be destroyed by fire. And then there'll be the great judgment. And then God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with him forever and forever. Look for it. Long for it. Live in expectation of it. And tell other people about it. How good God has been to you and how good God has been to man and made the promises and the way of salvation available for all who will believe. Thank God for the new heavens and the new earth. Father, we give you praise for all your blessings and goodness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people today in the church house. Pray you'll bless them all. Give them a real added blessing for their faithfulness, we pray. And then, Lord, we do pray for our sick list and those at home watching on live streaming who can't come yet. And we pray for them and pray that you'll remove this terrible plague from the world today that hinders us in such a big way. And deliver us from this, Lord, so that we can go and come as we need to and be a witness. And people wouldn't be afraid to invite us into their home to tell them about Jesus. And, Lord, give us power that our witness is effective. And give us your blessings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.